So welcome to the last lecture 8, which is the third of the credit risk lectures. And if you go to page 2 of lecture 8, then you'll see what will be covered in this lecture, on the slides of this lecture. It'll of course be several sound clips. So the idea, if I take a step back and tell you what the idea is now, is that before the model, the two earlier models, the beta mixture model and the logit model, they were sort of just ad hoc. The model we will talk about now is sort of tries to model the behavior of the obligers, and then uses this to determine if a default has happened or not. And for some of you, this will be very familiar if you've gone to a course in other financial courses which deal with options and so on. Then you'll recognize a lot of this. If you've not, then you won't recognize it, and there's a couple of things which will not really be understandable. But that shouldn't be a problem for the practical use of the results, and not a problem for the intuitive intuitive understanding of what's happening either. And so if we go to page 3, then we'll build up this model, and the model will be, we've somehow modeled something of the obliger, maybe just the amount of money the obliger owns, and then or the negative amount of money the obliger owns, so the amount of debt. And then if the debt is too big, then the obliger has to default. So the slides which I'm going to talk about in this sound clip, they just do construct a model for the say the debt of a obliger. And for this, we think about the things happening in continuous time. So we want to have a continuous time stochastic process, it's called. Most likely most of you have seen this, maybe not all of it. But the idea is, you know what a sequence of random variables is. We've also talked about a stationary sequence, or a sequence where there's dependence. Now, so that's a sequence of observations. Now, if you take continuous time, then the observation is just not taken at, say, time points 1, 2, 3, but it's taken continuously in time. So what one observes, or what one tries to model, is something which evolves in continuous time. So it's just an ordinary function. And this is what's said in bullet points 1 and 2. And the by far most important continuous time stochastic process is a Brownian motion. This is sometimes also called a Wiener process. And the last bullet point gives a definition of the Brownian motion. And it has four parts. It starts at 0. The value at time 0 of W is 0. The second is a more sort of theoretical part. It's a continuous function. It doesn't have any jumps or any other kind of discontinuities. And the two most important parts is that if you look at the increments, so if you have, say, some time points S and T, where S is less than T, and then you look at the increment, the difference between of the process, the Brownian motion W at time t and the Brownian motion W at time s, then this is property three. This is assumed to be normally distributed. So it's assumed to be a normal distribution with the variance t minus s. So saying three once more, the important basic assumption is that WT minus W of S is normally distributed with zero mean and variance T minus S. And the fourth property is that WT has independent increments. That is, if you look at the increments over two different time points, so you have time points S1, less than t1, less than or equal to s2, less than or equal to t2, then the increment over the first interval, s1 to t1, this is then wt1 minus ws1, is independent of the increment over the second time period. So, saying in words, Brownian motion is continuous time stochastic processes which starts at zero, has continuous paths with probability one, and the increments are normally distributed with variance equal to or proportional to the length of the interval where the increments are taken, and the increments are independent. So on page four of lecture eight, you see pictures of a number of Brownian motions. So Brownian motions are random processes, and just like you can observe a random variable or a sequence of random variables, you can observe the outcome of a Brownian motion. These are sometimes called trajectories. And so you can see, I think there's four different paths, four different trajectories of Brownian motions you can see here. And you can see they're quite wiggly. That comes from the independent increments, but they are still continuous. And you can also see that that sort of the variation is bigger when you get to the right hand part of the plot, and that's completely as it should be, because the variance, say the variance of the increment from zero to t, is t, and then so the variance at point t is t, and if you go further to the right, then t becomes larger, the variance become larger, and so the observations should be more spread out. So now, so this was maybe hopefully familiar to most of you. It's what is on this page is much less familiar to those of you who hasn't done an options course. So page five in lecture eight. Now we're going to make a model for, say, the debts of the obligors. And in the first step, we don't even assume it's homogeneous. It'll come sometimes later on. And then one wants to give a continuous time stochastic process which describes the behavior of an obligor or firm. And this is described by a stochastic differential equation. This is equation one, and it's sort of like a ordinary differential equation, which you all have seen, but there are to do stochastic differential equations, so some more complications or some more difficulties or some more interesting mathematics, if you want to look at it that way. So if you haven't seen this, think of it as a differential equation, and think of it as not completely like an ordinary differential equation. And if you look at it, it has sort of two parts. One is called, the first one is the mu I vti, which is sort of thought of as a drift part. And then there's a stochastic process part, which is called dbti. If you haven't seen this, you can't really understand it. But the important thing to understand is this somehow built on the BTIs, which you get by taking square root of rho times one Brownian motion, which is the same for every obligor. So BTI is square root of rho times WT0. This is the same for all obligors. And then plus one square root of one minus rho WTI, where these are the WT's I's are separate, three separate obligors, and they are independent. So there's sort of two parts, a common part for everyone, and a part which is only applies to the obligor I. So WT1 would be the part which belongs to the obligor 1. Well, knowing the theory of stochastic differential equations, one can solve the stochastic differential equations and get something which everybody is supposed to understand. And that says that the VTIs, sort of these values for obligor I, which are given by 1, they can be written as follows. VTI is the starting value, the value at 0, V0i, so, and then times e to some, the constant mu I minus 1/2 sigma I squared. So the mu I's and sigma I's you saw up in 1. So these are just constants, and they are constants chosen then later on to model the behavior of the obligors. And then you get a term in the exponent, which is sigma I BTI. And then you have to remember by 2 what BTI is. It's this combination of WT0 and WTI. And this what now creates dependence is that the WT0 is the same for all obligors. And so one can see, if you think about it a little bit, if the bigger the rho, the bigger the dependence, because then more of the process BTI is determined by the common part. So I give you a little bit of time to look at formulas 2 and 3. If you haven't seen 1 before, you won't understand it very much. But these WTIs, which are defined by 3 and 2, are the things which will determine the mixed binomial model later on in the lectures. So here on the next slide, page 6 of lecture 8, page 6, you can see again trajectories, not of a Brownian motion, but of a geometric Brownian motion. And so you have the formula for it up on top. Then you can see the formula. And here we've forgotten since we just look at one obligor, so we have not the WTI, just the WT. So the four trajectories, four sample paths, four realizations. These are different words for the same thing are plotted on this page 6. And so these are all, again, functions. And now you can see they are not symmetric anymore. They tend to the biggest one is much bigger than the other one. And you can also maybe see a little bit of an upwards trend. So if you compare with the Brownian motion plots, this is what you can see. And the next slide, slide number 7, again gives sort of a more large scale picture of the Brownian motion, the geometric Brownian motion, and what it looks like for a particular set of parameters with mu equals 0.05, sigma equals 0.25. And then you see that the sort of trend here is V0 e to the mu t. So that's the black line. And then you see how these geometric Brownian motions scatter around this line. And in particular, you can see they are increasing. So the final slide for this sound clip, say page eight of lecture 8, shows how the correlation affects these geometric Brownian motion. And well, actually, this is not the geometric Brownian motion. It's just a correlated Brownian motion. See, Brownian motion is given by the formula 1 you saw. So if you go from top left, they are uncorrelated, and then they become more, and then top right, they become a little bit more correlated. In bottom left, they are even more correlated, and in the bottom right, that's the most correlated. And you can see in the bottom right the functions are fairly clustered together. And this clustering is determined by the rho constant. So the rho constant was 0 for the first one, top left was 0.2 for the top right, 0.6 for the bottom left, and 0.9 for the bottom right. And you should now remember the formula for these BTIs. That was square root of rho times a common Brownian motion plus square root of 1 minus rho times a separate Brownian motion for each of the four Brownian motions. And here, why sort of a parenthesis, why square root of rho and square root of 1 minus rho? Well, that's just because then the variance is a sum of the squares of these two things, and the variance becomes 1 at time 1. So this concludes this sound clip. See you in the next, or not see you. We'll meet on the next sound clip.